Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that my book, Bipolar Bisexual, is in the works and it will be ready to be published by the end of December. So keep a lookout for that. And I hope you enjoy this episode. So, hello, welcome to Blood Rituals. My name is Nicole, and I'm here with my good friend. I've never officially learned how to pronounce his name. I think it's Gaio. So, okay, good. My friend Gaio, he is here so he can actually tell us some spooky shit that's happened in his life. And the really good part about all of this shit is that it's completely real. It's just from a friend to another friend. So, if you like it, you like it, and if you don't believe it, you don't have to, but I'm fucking here to listen to literally anything you have to say.
Cool. So there's a couple of like supernatural, spooky stuff that's been around in my life that some of it I don't remember. Some of it's going to be like my father repeating a story to me. And so when I first came to live with my father after my mom died, he told me a story that when I was about 4 years old, he heard me in the bathroom, sitting on the edge of the bathtub as the water was getting ready. And he was getting ready to turn off the water, make sure it was okay for me. But before he walked in, he heard me talking and he was paying attention to what I was saying. And it sounded like a one-sided conversation to him. And he thought, oh, he probably has an imaginary friend. So he walks in, he says, hey, who are you talking to? And I say, Grandpa. And he goes, oh, you're talking to Abuelo Chulo Chulo, which is my step-grandfather or his stepfather. And I said, no, I'm talking to your dad. And he froze. He told me that he had a chill down his spine, but he didn't say anything. He just kept going. And he asked me, oh, well, what am I talking about with my grandfather? And I told, and the way he told me, he didn't give me exactly details. He just told me, that I told him, oh, your dad told me to tell you this and tell you that and tell you something else. And a whole list of things that there's no way I could have known, especially as a four-year-old. The creepy thing is that my grandfather, his father, died before I was born. So I never met him. I might have seen pictures of him when he was in a funeral, which I don't recall ever seeing. But my father asked me to tell him, what did I see? Who was I talking to? And the way I described my grandfather was what he was wearing at his funeral. And so that sent another chill down his spine. And he left the story alone at that. But when he told me the story, now, of course, this is all hearsay. This is my father telling me something that I told him when I was a toddler, whatever. But about a year later, I do remember this part happening. And it was after my parents got divorced and I was going to visit my father on a weekend. And he took me to one of my aunt's house, actually the oldest aunt. And while I was there, I asked my aunt, hey, could I have a pickle? But I want it on a fork so I don't get my finger sticky. Now, what four-year-old kid gives a shit about getting their finger sticky?
And, honestly.
Right? So my aunt, this is a part that I really remember, is that my aunt grabbed me and shook me and started yelling at me. But it was more of an excitement. But for me, it was scary because she was yelling at me. But she was just kind of excited to hear what I had to say. Like, who told you this? Where'd you hear this? You know, who told you to not get your finger sticky and all these other things? And she just kept asking me questions about what I had said. And it turns out that my grandfather was very picky. He did not like getting his hands dirty, sticky, or anything. He hated anything on his hands. And he always had a handkerchief to keep his hands clean. And so I remember telling her, oh, well, grandpa told me, you know, blah, 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 and this, that, and the other, that if I'm going to eat, I should keep my fingers clean. And so that part of the story kind of jives with what my father told me. So it's like, yeah, I did talk to some entity at some point in my life when I was a kid. And then growing up with my mom, she was a curandera or into brujeria. So she would do cleansing. She would beat people with ranches and rub an egg on them. It's kind of a Latin American or Mexican type brujeria type stuff, santeria. But it's an offshoot more of cleansing spirits away from you or keeping spirits to be bad spirits to be around you. And in that, I remember learning how to read tarot cards and I'd forgotten how to do it or follow up with it. It was just something that I learned that my job was kind of to keep people busy while my mom was cleaning in the background, or, you know, in the back room. And for years, I you know, as I grew older, of course, I lose contact or touch with being able to see other things. And for the past maybe 10 years, I keep thinking, you know what, I need to see or figure out how to open up my third eye. I want to, you know, see what's out there still. And I want to get in touch with something that I had an innate ability at some point in my life. And so around when COVID started, I just finally sat down one night and was just laying in bed and kind of talking to myself, talking out loud and also in my head. And I said something to the effect of, you know, I want to open up my third eye. I want to learn more. I want to be able to communicate with whatever is out there that I haven't been able to be in touch with all these years. And it was home alone by myself, no one around. And about a week later, I went to go see this female I was dating. And, you know, after some slap and tickle time, we're sitting in bed and she just says, okay, fine, I'll tell him. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Who are you talking to? And she goes, okay, look, I don't know how to tell you this, and this is going to be weird because I'm white and this, that, and the other. But for like the last month, I've been kind of like learning stuff about Santa Muerte because she keeps coming to me and I keep seeing pictures and visions and things in my head. I don't hear anything, but I just see pictures. And right now I just saw a thing that tells me, keeps telling me to tell you yes, that the answer is yes, she'll help.
What the fuck? That's so interesting.
Exactly, right? It was like, what are you talking about that she's telling you? And so this girl, she refers to Santa Muerte as her or she, that she hasn't seen that, she hasn't heard her call. She has not heard her name, but by the descriptions of everything that she's seen online and all these other things, that to her, it's Santa Muerte, that it's basically a beautiful woman in Day of the Dead face paint. And she's always kind of like dancing or twirling around. And that you could never see her face. Like you can tell it's painted. And every time, you know, she's about to turn to face you, then the face just kind of goes like blurry or quickly turns to another direction to where you can't see it. So every time, like if you're looking at the camera, there's like something right in front of your face. So when you turn, you don't see it, and you just see it again. So it's hard to explain, but at least that's how she explained it to me, what she was seeing.
Is she like a malevolent spirit, or is she like a gray spirit, like somebody that's like good or bad? Like, I don't know about it.
Well, Santa Muerte is more of kind of like a minor deity, to where she helps you more on her own whim, whatever she feels like doing for you. So if she likes you, she'll do nice things for you. And it doesn't have to be necessarily nice and for as far as like the way law works. A lot of cartel members pray to her for her like blessings, so that way they don't get caught. So it's a good thing for them to be in her good graces and not get caught and not have their drugs busted or whatever. And then others want to be able to commune with their dead family members. So they kind of use her as like an intermediary. So she's not necessarily good or bad. She's just more of what's in her mood to do for you, at least from my understanding of her.
Okay.
Let's see. About a month after that, I took a trip to LA. It was around April. So right, yeah, April of last year, I had to go to LA for something. And I found this underground dispensary and they sold mushroom chocolates. So you break off one tab of a chocolate bar is a microdose. I forgot how the hierarchy was, but it's like you take this many for microdose, this many to open up your mind, this many to do something else. And if you take the whole bar, you're going to talk to aliens.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was funny because it was just kind of like the branding thing of like this, take this much. So I took four pieces, which was like the open up your mind one, and was listening to like classical music and just chilling, keeping my eyes closed. And I kind of saw her. Santa Muerte. And it was kind of the same thing where she's dancing and twirling around. And it was kind of weird, the visions that I was seeing, because it was kind of like her clothes were like a kaleidoscope. So as she turned, the colors in the embroidery would kind of change and not exactly shimmer, but you could see like it would turn like a kaleidoscope turns, like a rotates, like it just kind of goes through a shift of colors. And again, I couldn't see her face. I'd see like the side of her face. And just as she turned, it would be like I'd see her, the back of her head and just all her hair. but even though she was just, her body was facing towards me, and tried talking to her, and she didn't speak, but it was more of just images and pictures and feelings that I would get from it. Of course, I was on mushrooms, but since then, I've done some praying and some stuff to try to get it out of her, or to be able to open up my third mind with some meditation and stuff, and still haven't been able to do it without mushrooms, or haven't done it again and haven't tried using mushrooms a few months after that. So when in April, let's call it July of last year, July, August, it was this year after all this had happened, because I'd kind of forgotten about it. And during this year, when I was doing an interview with a friend from Houston, or actually an acquaintance, she's a friend of a friend. And during one of our conversations, I just kind of brought up that I was trying to, that I'd, you know, the whole experience that I went through, and she jumps in and blurts out, "Dude, I'm going to tell you something and you're not going to believe it," and blah, 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 all this other shit. Like, okay, go ahead. What do you got to say? And she was like, my friend studies capoeira, which is a Brazilian martial art. And in the community that she's with in Houston, there is a small group that practice a Brazilian kind of like hoodoo or santeria, but it's not, it's a different name that they call it in Brazil because it's Portuguese. And they recognize Santa Muerte as a deity within their religion or beliefs. It's like the main one, but it's just one of them that's kind of like a character or someone that responds to them. And she's telling me, "Dude, okay, look, you got to go through X, Y, and Z. But once you get through that, she's going to talk to you, and you're going to have a whole flood of people that want to talk to you, that you got a ton of people that want to talk to you. And they're telling me to tell you to hurry up and open up your eye." And that freaked me out, because I was like, oh shit, I kind of don't want to do it now. If I have a flood of people that want to talk to me and get after me.
Does he mean like an actual flood of people, or like ancestral?
I think ancestral, because there's my cynicism in my life. By the time I was 15, I had buried over 20 friends and family members.
Wow.
At 12, I saw someone get shot in front of me in a drive-by. And that was just like the normal 90s gang life. Not that I was part of a gang. I just went to a middle school that had a lot of gang members in it. So there was drive-bys at least once a week, either in or around the school. We'd get locked down once a month because they'd do a sweep and they'd find guns and bullets and all kinds of stuff in schools, in the lockers.
Where did you go up again?
Houston.
Houston. Okay. That's interesting. I wouldn't expect that from Houston, but at the same time, it's kind of dangerous to go there in general right now. And I didn't really think it was because of gangs or anything. I thought it was just because I've heard that like there are certain things promote the KKK in that area.
Outside of Houston. So Vidor and Orange is like a big KKK racist area. But Houston itself, it was just a lot of gang violence. That it's a major port city in the Gulf for the U.S. And it manufactures and processes a lot of oil for gas. So it's a hub for a lot of things. And Houston was a big port to receive cocaine in the 80s. So, and it just naturally followed with weed also in the 90s. So cocaine, ketamine, ecstasy, and all this other drugs were just a big deal, or kind of a big part of just Houston. Like, okay, yeah, whatever. It's no big deal.
Super fucking interesting.
Yeah. So it was just kind of weird, you know, getting all these indicators or flags or whatever you would call them, where, you know, someone's telling you, hey, you need to open up your third eye. Hey, you need to start communing with other people, or with, you know, the supernatural. And I mean, in a sense, I guess I am scared. But on the other hand, it's more of like I'm just trying to put off a really big project, because I don't want to have to deal with grandfather, mother, father, two aunts, an uncle, maybe classmates, a couple of cousins. So just knowing that I'm going to have to deal with that many dead relatives and whoever else is trying to get in touch with me. And she didn't specify if it was ancestral. She just said that there's a lot of people that want to talk to me. So she didn't say if it was friends or family or random people or some type of person that I had a connection to, just that it was going to be a lot of people that want me to open up that eye because they wanted to reach out to me.
That's so interesting. So like whenever you, did you ever actually pursue that, or was it just like, is it still a fear to actually reach out?
Part of it is a fear. And another one is, I just don't know where to find the right resource to open up my third eye, because you search for something on YouTube and they tell you, okay, just meditate and do this and do that. And I have a hard time just turning off my mind to begin with. And then I'm worried if I do mushrooms and it'll, you know, do mushrooms, try to meditate, maybe an edible or something, you know, mixing drugs with it, I might go too deep and get freaked out. So, you know, it's just kind of like, I need to find a guide to be able to show me, okay, this is how you open up your third eye versus just some random YouTube or Spotify meditation thing, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned your mom being part of the ancestral thing. She passed away a while ago.
Oh yeah. She passed away when I was 14. My father, 10 years ago, my grandfather was like about 2 years before my mom died. An aunt was, so it was like my grandfather, a year later, my aunt, a year later, my mom. And then like every year was some other family member, plus, you know, friends and classmates from drive-bys and stuff.
Damn. That's crazy. I wouldn't even know how to like start. Well, I've had a boyfriend that had a lot of friends that passed away in a culmination, like just in 1 year, he had like 3 or 4 people pass away that he was close to. And that alone was like rough to even like talk about or address. And like, not only that, like grief, like kind of makes you terrified to talk to the other side, because like, what if they say something that you don't want to hear and it ruins your image of them or something like that? But it's like, it's really interesting to me that your mom was like involved in that whole field where she like cleansed people of these certain things. And then out of nowhere, you like start hearing that other people want to talk to you. It's like, what if she has something interesting to tell you that she didn't mention before? Like maybe she like saw your grandfather or something like attached to you. Because I remember my friend Brianna had like an actual spirit like attached to her, and we like didn't understand what was going on. And it was causing all of this mischief, and we like saged the whole entire house and it like stopped. But we didn't know that until one of her friends told her that she saw something attached to her and she didn't know how to describe it. It was just like some weird entity that was just like standing there. I don't know. If I was in your shoes, I wouldn't know how to start with that, especially whenever you're still grieving over people and like, fuck, like there's essentially their whole entire memory would be like skewed if they said something that you weren't like ready to hear. The third eye itself is like scary enough to open, because then you get weird ass visions of like things that you don't understand that are just coming in because you're opening yourself up.
I could see that being like a weird point. And it's not so much a fear of that. It's more of a fear of being annoyed all the time. Like I'm sure there's movies out there. I know I've seen some and I can't think of any names, but sometimes there's a person that can see spirits. And it just, they don't leave them alone. They always want to talk to them. They always want, you know, their attention to, you know, do something. The only one I can think of right off the top is like Constantine, but he was more afraid of what he saw. Whereas, you know, there's other movies where it's just like Drop Dead Fred, where just someone that just keeps annoying and pestering you to do something for them. And, you know, then you look crazy because you're talking to someone that's not there. So that's one part of it. Another is, like, I'm afraid to talk to my wife because I know she's a part of it, because another friend at another time told me, hey, look, you know, I know this is going to sound weird, but your wife came to me and, you know, had a conversation and said that, you know, she's cool with me, that she likes the way that I treat you and how we're dating. And I was like, okay, you know, and this was someone else that I knew had more of a, I guess, a spiritual attunement. And she would talk to her dead husband from time to time. And, you know, my wife came to her. And I was just like, all right, you know, kind of tracks. I don't see how she could have followed me out here, but she did come out to Reno once. So she did know where I was more or less. So who knows? So that's one aspect of it. And then the other is more of just like not having the time or wanting to make the time to have to deal with all of it. Like if there was a way I could let them know, okay, I'm going to open up my eye and you got to start taking your little tickets now. So you have 1 week this week, and then the next week it'll be the next person, and then we'll cycle through a rotation, but I don't want to have everybody there at the same time. But I don't think they're going to listen that way.
No, I get what you mean. That's really interesting. So you feel like if you open yourself up, you're going to be permanently opened?
I'm fine with that. I'm okay with it, because I am interested always in like the occult, the supernatural mind stuff in general, like hypnosis, NLP, just how, you know, there's so much that we can do that our minds, that we just can't explain. You know, like whenever a mom raises a car to pick up her baby or something like that, you know, it's just physically impossible. Yet we can still do some things whenever we're at a certain state of mind. And if we can find a way to get our state of mind to be more permanent in X, Y, or Z. Maybe we could be more phenomenal in what we do every day.
Yeah. Well, shit. Do you think that in the future that you'll actually open yourself up? Are you kind of planning for it?
I kind of am. Like, I want to do it before the end of the year, just like, quit procrastinating. This is more of an issue of trying to figure out who do I know they can help me or teach me.
Yeah.
And I guess I could probably like throw a little Facebook post like, hey, if you know how to open up third eyes, message me because I need to talk to you. But, you know, I still want more of a personal touch of someone that I could like talk to in person versus someone messaging me on Messenger or, you know, trying to do a Facebook Live or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I know that if you go to Genie's Closet, I got this third eye oil that I tried meditating with. And it's not like I don't want to open my third eye. It's just like the same thing. Like I'm scared of what'll happen because my cousin told me that she opened her third eye once and she was seeing random visions of like just simple things. Like what the person told me at Genie's Closet, she said, you might see simple things like somebody stepping in a puddle or like somebody talking to somebody else or like a car driving by, just like little things that are like happening, not around you, like out in the world. And whenever my cousin told me that she experienced that, it made me really intrigued, but it also scared me because I was like, well, if you open yourself up to that sort of thing and you're able to see all these different things that are happening around you that you don't understand, what if you see something that's like extremely bad, like somebody like raping somebody else? Like, what if you have guilt over that and you can't control it? And it's like, that's just me being a little paranoid because I know how Reno is. And like, I know that there are certain underground things going on, like the whole sex trafficking ring being huge out here. And then like, not only that, just being downtown, I can't even imagine like certain things that like the homeless people are doing around here that are mischievous or like even benevolent. If I saw anything, I would start freaking out. I don't know. Like, I really understand the idea of being ready and like preparing yourself and trying to find a teacher. And I feel like Genie's Closet, like they have a couple people there that like specialize in that. Like they have their own offices and shit like that. But even then, it's like something that you really, really, really have to be ready for, because if it happens and you're not necessarily ready for it, like you may be overstimulated and it's just sort of like scary, like all the time, like if something pops into your head. But then like if it's annoying, like Drop Dead Fred, that's also an inconvenience, because if you're just like at work and certain things come around, you're like the girl on Medium, like consistently seeing things around you that you're not ready for. And then like, yeah, I think about the guilt that's tied to certain things, because if you see something that's harmful and you don't know how to address it, you know that it happened, but it's like still in the back of your mind type of thing. I don't know how to address it and I don't know how to move forward because I literally saw this in a vision. Like this is something that I actually saw in real life. It's just like something that came into my head and I know it's real because this was the whole purpose of me opening myself up. You don't randomly see certain things that are like harmful for no reason.
Yeah, but I don't think you see things all the time that are going to always be harmful. Like right now I see things. I can't even think of when it started. It's usually before I leave the house where I'm at, I'll kind of see something like an accident or traffic jam or just something random. And for whatever reason, it's just like a flash. And in a sense, I see it clearly and it's blurry, if that makes any sense. So it's like seeing a picture superimposed on what I'm looking at. So if I'm looking at trees outside, I'll see like, or like a slide, you know, if you like a slide or a negative, if you like hold it to the light and you're looking through it, you can see the picture. But if you focus, you can see through the picture and see what's behind it, like whatever you're looking at, like your outdoors or your car. So it's kind of similar to that, but it's a hazy, foggy slide. And like I said, it'll be something like in a car accident, pile up, traffic, whatever. And so what I just do is I'll just take a different route than I would normally rent. So normally when I leave my neighborhood, I'll cut through and then just jump onto the main road. But if I see something like that, I'll just loop around, take the long way out of the neighborhood and go to the next major road, which is south of me, but it takes a while to get there. And sometimes when I come back, I'll see like a traffic jam on the highway going the opposite direction, or I'll, you know, see something posted on Facebook in the, like the neighborhood group. Oh, hey, you know, anybody know what's going on? You know, there was two dead bodies found on Stead last week. Does anybody know what was there? There were like tons of cop cars. And I'll see like the cop cars before it even happened, like before it even shows up, it'll be stuff like that. But it's nothing that I can connect to or relate. To me, it just seems like, oh, maybe it's just me almost getting into a car accident, so I'll just go another way. Or maybe me seeing that traffic is backed up. And so far, knock on wood, I haven't been in an accident or been stuck in traffic too bad if I take a different route from whatever I see or picture in my mind before I leave the house.
So your third eye is already partially open then?
I'm thinking, like, I hadn't thought of it until you were talking about seeing the stuff like the medium and things that you don't normally see, or the whole, you know, not wanting to see something that's bad. And I was thinking, you know what? I kind of do see things now, but it's not a clear picture. So maybe I just need some way to better pay attention with my third eye, or open it more, or learn how to focus to be able to see deeper into whatever I'm seeing. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you never really recognized it literally until now?
Yeah, because, well, I mean, I'd brought it up, but I never thought of it as a third eye. I thought of it more as like a premonition or a bad feeling, and I'm just projecting something in my mind, like something like a gut feeling of, oh, don't go this way or don't go down a dark alley. You know, normally people feel that in their gut, but they don't see anything associated with it. And maybe I'm just projecting a bad feeling that I feel in my gut into something that would tell me, hey, don't go that way, instead of just, quote unquote, listening to my gut. You know, that gut feeling, you don't see anything, you just feel something weird inside. So similar to that, but seeing it instead of feeling it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. Your intuition always takes different forms though. Like there's this one story that I heard about a girl that heard her intuition, like a voice, like inside her head telling her certain things. Like she was in a dangerous situation where somebody tried to drug her, and she saw it in the cup and she started leaving the bar. And then as she was leaving the bar, there was like a voice in her head telling her to go down certain streets and to do certain things. And then like when she got to her car and like listened to that voice completely instead of arguing with it, like there was this dude, the one that drugged her drink, that tried like opening her door handle as soon as she got it locked because that voice like instructed her to do certain things. And it's like, sometimes your intuition might take form as like just visions, you know? If you think about it, like in terms of like people interpreting different things in like different ways, like audio or hallucinatory or anything like that, like, I don't know, maybe that's how your mind works. Like you just receive like images instead of like a certain voice projecting things, because I don't know if it's like you being afraid of something and then it being projected, if you're seeing like actual facts of these visions coming to fruition.
Yeah. And it's only been a few times. Like, you know, I don't circle around to see the route that I would normally take to see if there's an accident or see something there's going on. Is it in my mind, I'm like, okay, fine, I'll just go the opposite way. Don't even question it. But then there are times whenever I take like a short trip, like I'm just going to drop off something at the mailbox or going to, or post office, or running to the grocery store to grab like milk or something that's short and quick, right? And I come back the route that I would have taken to leave in the first place. And I'll see like a pileup or highway patrol doing like their little sting thing where they're catching people, because the main street that I'm on, the speed limit is like 15 miles an hour throughout the school day, which I think is stupid. I mean, it should only be before and after, but it's like from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's 15 miles per hour, Monday through Friday. And so they'll have like a sting operation once a month or whatever. And, you know, they'll have cars pulled over. And I just, you know, come back my way because I know the speed limit, and I'll just see, you know, three or four cars pulled over, or, you know, not a pileup, but just a traffic jam, or, you know, like a car's broken down and everybody's trying to get around it, but it's a two lane road, so it's hard to get traffic going.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, it's nothing major, I don't think. It's just traffic in my mind, or maybe an accident. So I guess it is a form of intuition, just without realizing it, I guess.
So interesting. Just with traffic.
It's funny because even traffic here in Reno is not a big deal. Yeah, coming from Houston, you know, getting across town with no traffic would take about 3 hours. If there's no cars on the road from one end of Houston to the other is about 3 hours. So, you know, getting around Reno from Stead down to Carson is like a joke. Like, psh, no big deal. Whatever.
Yeah. Dude, it's so ridiculous. It's like LA.
Kind of, yeah.
So fucking atrocious. That's interesting to me, though, that it's mainly just focused around traffic. Like, have you ever thought about like those news reporters that like report traffic? Like, how fucking great you'd be at that job.
Like, yeah, just don't go down this road. I can tell you right now, just don't leave. Go around through your neighborhood, yeah. But normally it's like the morning traffic with the news and all that stuff. And I haven't watched that in ages, or just news in general.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I never watch the news. So that's not like shocking to me personally, but it's just like interesting that you never watch that shit and you know what's happening.
Because mm-hmm. I mean, nothing really changes. There's going to be someone got shot. Someone got arrested. The weather is probably going to be what they say it is sometimes. Mm-hmm. Then there's going to be some political thing that's going on in the city, and then something major in the national news, you know? So it's nothing that's going to be surprising or shocking. Like, oh, hey, oh, I didn't really need to know that.
Yeah. But I don't even have like strong intuition whenever it comes to like anything like that. I just like feel little moments like where there's like a feeling inside your stomach where you're not supposed to do a certain thing, and then you follow it, and then you realize like, well, if I would have, I probably would have gotten to the situation where I'm like super drunk and like in an area where I don't understand and I'm like traveling around. Or like even outside of that, like I'll get certain feelings about just people that you're supposed to talk to or not, and then weeks later you find out they're like gossiping about other people. Just small things like that. And like, that's why it's so interesting to me that you have like such strong intuition, even if it's like in one general area, because like a lot of people don't even know how to tap into that. They hear that voice, like that lady, and they might follow it. But most of the time it's like you questioning yourself, like whether or not you should follow it. And that one moment where you're starting to question things, that's like kind of like a turning point. Like, if you don't trust your intuition, something can happen. And if you start questioning it, that leaves time for that event to happen. Like, and it makes it really uncomfortable. Have you ever like felt a deep intuitive feeling outside of traffic? Like something that relates to like your personal life?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. Normally I like even things like this, even the whole idea of, you know, seeing the pattern, like I know I would see it and I would just didn't talk about it. I didn't vocalize it or say anything. It wasn't until I was going out on a date with this one girl and, you know, she asked me, hey, why are you going this way? Or she made a comment, something about like, you know, every time you say you're ready to go, most of the time, you know, you're hanging back or you're, you know, lollygagging or whatever. You're taking your time to get ready, even though you said you were ready 5 minutes ago. And I didn't have an answer in my head. And then another time she finally asked, hey, why are we going this way? Why are we going a different way out of the neighborhood? And I finally just told her, you know, hey, this is what I see. This is what's going on. And whenever I see these things, that's why either I hang back to take my time leaving or I'll take a different direction. And I hadn't consciously thought of it. It's just something I do automatically without thinking, didn't even register it. And it wasn't until she pointed it out, I was like, oh yeah, okay, that's why I do it. And I do it because of this. And then she was like, oh, okay. She kind of had like a little, you're weird about that. But we didn't stop talking because of that. It was just kind of, we just kind of fell apart. But I didn't recognize that I was doing this until she pointed out, hey, you say you're ready, but you're taking too long to leave, or we're going out the neighborhood out of a different way. You know, why are you going out, you know, this long way? But as far as other areas of my life, I can't, or maybe it's just one of those things I haven't like registered or thought about, you know? So maybe I do, and I just don't think about it, or it hasn't been pointed out to me. So I'm going to make a note. There we go. To like, hey, pay attention to what's going on in your life, dummy.
No, it's okay. Sometimes it's just like really weird to even like recognize those things in yourself, especially whenever it's just happening and you're sort of like in a daze and you're like, okay, I don't want to ignore this feeling, so I'm just going to pursue it. And then once somebody questions it, it's like, you're like faced with like that moment where you're like, I don't know how to explain this sort of thing because I still don't understand it myself. Like, it's just something that happens. I'm really interested in what'll happen whenever you like actually start facing that sort of feeling and like try to like connect with Santa Muerte, like person to person or soul to soul. Like, I really want to hear what happens after that, because that sounds like, I don't know, your third eye is already partially opened and it's protecting you from certain things. So it seems like this spirit like won't be like malicious towards you. It may be telling you like something that is really important that you may need to like know. Especially if it's happening now, like who knows, like maybe something dangerous or like maybe something really good will happen to you. And she's trying to like guide you in the right direction because like traffic in itself, like symbolically, it's like something that is supposed to like something that you're supposed to follow to get to your door or your destination. She's like trying to guide your destination in some sort of way.
Well, I think there is something there or like, you know, attached to me, watching me, taking over or not taking over, but taking care of me, because I've had a couple of major motorcycle accidents. One, it was a head on collision with an 18 wheeler. We're both doing about 35 miles an hour, no helmet. And I walked away. All I have is like a little scratch over my forearm, a little scratch over my eyebrow. And I had some road rash on my forearm.
Yeah.
And the EMT showed up and was like, oh, I guess we need to call the coroner. Like, and I was standing next to the guy. I was like, hey, you know, I'm right here. I'm okay. And like, they were like, oh shit, you know, that was you. And they expected to be picking up a body. And then when I broke my hip on a motorcycle accident, and I don't think, or I don't recall if there was anything that was warning me to not go through that route or not ride my bike that day or whatever. But there, I feel like there is something out there that has been watching over me, that has been protecting me for years. Cause there's been other times and situations where I should not be alive, you know, held at gunpoint and basically antagonizing my mugger, telling him, well, fuck you, shoot me. I don't give a shit. Like, you know, I was in my mid 20s and in my mind, I just always had this thought that I'm never going to live to see 20. And that was 20 plus years ago. So, you know, getting mugged, getting, you know, being held at knife point or gun point or whatever, you know, I would do, fuck you, shoot me. I don't give a shit. Like, I don't have any cash on me anyways. You're not going to get my PIN code. So fuck off, shoot me or get the hell out of here. Cause you know, whatever. And that's not like me trying to be like, oh yeah, I'm a badass. It's just like, I had accepted that I was going to die already. So anything that would be close to me dying, I didn't care about. It was just kind of like that, you know, young 20 something attitude. So maybe there is something to it that I have somebody that wants to talk to me because they've been protecting me all this long to be able to talk to me. So that's also another reason that I'm pushing for learning or opening up my third eye before the end of the year.
Damn. What made you feel like you weren't going to live past 20? Like, did something occur to you, like in a dream or something?
No, it was just all seeing everybody die, you know, classmates die in middle school and high school. Family members dead. And, you know, when my mom passed, I was like, yeah, fuck it. You know, my goal at the time was like, okay, maybe I can live as long as she did. And she died at 37. So my mind or my goal was, okay, I want to make it to 37, even though for some reason I had it like ingrained or that's why I didn't even bother going to college. Even though my counselors would get after me, it's like, hey, you could be the valedictorian if you just fucking did your work. I was like, what does it matter? I mean, I'm passing. All I need is a high school diploma. What am I going to use it for? So I really had no aspirations or goals and, you know, just kind of killing time. And that's why I joined the Army. It's like, yeah, you know, might as well do something. So as to why, I can't point it. Maybe if I did some type of meditation, I could probably go back and figure out, okay, this is why I thought I wouldn't see 20. But otherwise, nothing really sticks out.
Damn. I can't even imagine being around all that shit. Like everyone around me just did like drugs and that was about it. They didn't die or anything. And it was like, remember whenever we were younger, there was this story about somebody that me and Chelsea grew up around, like down the street, and they ended up doing drugs and they died. And that was the only thing that ever came close to that. We like realized that somebody down the street that was doing certain things that we did all the time ended up dying. We were like, damn. So we were about like 19 or 20 at the time, I think. We were a little bit older. So we were like, I can't even imagine what it would be like if we still hung out with those people like to this day, or if we like hung out with them all throughout high school. Because as time moved on, we ended up hanging out with just like a small group of girls, like me, Chelsea, Brianna, and this girl, Kelsey. We would all hang out and that was about it. And anytime we felt like something was weird, we ended up leaving immediately. And there was one time where we kind of felt like something was going to happen at this party and we didn't do anything because we were having fun. Like we were just drinking, like having a good time, like smoking. And then out of nowhere, like all these cops show up and we're like, damn, that was what was going to happen. We should have fucking listened. So we were like out there, like jumping fences, trying to like find Chelsea's car. And then like we hid in Chelsea's car until like the police left because they were like addressing every single car. So we were like laying back and like waiting. Just certain things like that would happen. And we'd be like, we should have listened. But at the same time, that was more of like Chelsea's intuition and like Kelsey's intuition. Like me and Brianna were like just doing whatever and we didn't really care. And Chelsea's the one that to this day, like she studies like witchcraft and everything like that. So she's like really in tune with her intuition. She's the one that was like having visions whenever she like opened her third eye and shit like that. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, I wish that I had that sort of intuition, but at the same time, like I said before, like it really does get me paranoid and scared, but that's just my own like mental disposition. Like I've never been around all that stuff. You've been around it like since you were a child. It's been like something that you've grown up with. Like how old are you right now?
Hold on. Let me math. 42. Yeah.
Okay.
Hearing all this stuff, I was like, oh man, I feel so fucking old. You were like born when I went to high school or something. It's just like, ah, whatever.
Yeah. Well, whenever we talked about 9/11, you were like experiencing that in the army. And I was like, poor. You've been through a lot more shit than I have.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't think it's necessarily just due to age. It's just, well, I mean, part of age, but it's just experience too. Like when you get to be 40, you'll have stuff you've gone through and seen maybe on a different level. I mean, everything's connected. Like everything, I don't want to say everything happens for a reason, but like everything seems to be connected somehow and we just can't see the reason. It's just more like, you know, like the way we met, the way I've just found you on Reddit. Like there's no reason that you or any female should respond to a guy that just randomly emails them about, hey, I found you on Reddit and I want to be on your podcast. You know, most people would find that creepy, but I guess something in your intuition said, yeah, let's give this a try or whatever, you know? And I really didn't expect to hear back from you when I reached out because I was like, oh, this is probably the creepiest way to reach out to someone after I already sent it. I was like, oh, well, you know, worst case, I never hear from her. Best case, you know, we do some podcasts together. So here we are. Life is just weird.
Yeah. Damn. Can I talk to you whenever you actually try to contact Samson Muerte, like at the end of the year?
Yeah. Actually, I was going to see if you could put me in touch with your friend Chelsea, that if she knows how to open up, or she opened up her own third eye, maybe she can give me like resources on how she did it or even help me, you know?
Yeah, Chelsea would be really into that, actually.
Great. Look forward to it.
But yeah, I am really fucking happy that I got to talk to you. And whenever you do connect with that spirit, please text me so I can talk to you about it, because it's been about fucking over 40 years coming.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Like your whole entire life has been like leading up to like just one little moment where you need to like connect with this spirit guide for some reason.
And hopefully something better. Well, hopefully I can make some money off of it somehow. Like, hey, you know, if I finally got something I can do, not that I'm trying to like exploit it, but just like, oh, hey, yeah, you know, something that I can monetize in the sense of like, okay, I have a YouTube channel and now, you know, I'll read your cards or, you know, whatever, you know, just something that can benefit me in a way that like, I can focus more on it rather than like having a having to juggle a day job and trying to do this on the side, you know. Of course, I think it'd be more for individual growth or self-growth. But at the same time, you know, once I learned that, I think there's plenty I could use or offer with both life experience and what I'm learning at the same time. Like, okay, hey, don't just rely on Western medicine, because I personally just can't stand Western medicine where you got to take a pill for diabetes and you got to take a pill for diarrhea because the first pill is going to give you diarrhea and then make your ulcers bleed and you got to take an ulcer medicine for that. And, you know, you're just taking pills upon pills for side effects from the first thing when all you need to do is take care of your diabetes. So.
Yeah. Damn. And there's so many places that you can go to. Like, I don't know why, but Reno's so full of different psychics, different spiritual healers. And like, it's all like displayed on these different witch stores. Like they have like their little cards present and stuff like that. And it's like, I don't know. If you were to monetize it, I really don't think it would be for like personal gain. Like, I understand there would be like personal growth, but also like if you have that sort of capability, it's almost like having a bunch of knowledge about one subject and like going into teaching. It's like, if you have something that you can offer somebody else, like you might as well use it, because if you just keep it to yourself, like certain people might not be able to get through certain situations that you can navigate.
Yeah. And that's, I finally realized after 30 something years that, hey, you know, I shouldn't be here in the world just for me or trying to make things better for me. I should try to make things better for everyone else. Because if, even if I only help 1% of the people that I know to do something better, but everybody else helps each other another 1%, eventually, you know, everybody's helping other people as well, you know, instead of just me and taking, you know, giving out just a little bit and everybody gives out a little bit more, you know, the whole like pay it forward idea, you know, we could make everything a better place instead of being stressful and hateful as it seems right now on social media.
Yeah. And my friend that was like on the last podcast, he's had horrible experiences regarding like religious entities and stuff like that. And like, if you're able to like help people understand that it's not necessarily like to endanger them, like maybe these certain entities are like trying to tell them something, even if they're presenting themselves in like a really scary way, like a dark entity or like just something in the corner of your eye that you don't understand, like something that's there and you don't understand why it's there. It's not necessarily always like a demonic entity. It might just be like an entity that doesn't know how to present itself in a visually pleasing manner. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of spirits struggle with that, because it's like being in the spirit world, if you learn how to like present yourself in one way, I almost see it like in an anime. Like, you can only present yourself in one way until you learn how to like navigate that whole thing. Like, mm-hmm. Spirits are going through a whole, I don't know. I feel like they're going through a lot, like just trying to communicate with their ancestors.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, if they're running into roadblocks, and probably not even their own roadblocks, just roadblocks around the person, because we, as individuals, we learn to, I guess, learn or get trained or whatever in the world, learn to close off, because, you know, mostly children, the more innocent, can see these things, or, you know, from friends, family, relatives that I've heard that have some type of innate ability, you know, they've had it since they were young, and most of them just didn't block it out. They just kept encouraging it and kept using it and kept at it. Whereas me, you know, whatever it was that finally closed me off, whether it was me focusing too much on school or just not talking to whoever was talking to me anymore, you know, just losing it, I think we naturally have the ability to, and we just, the world teaches us or makes us close it off.
Yeah, especially with all the different depictions of like demonic entities and like horror movies and shit like that. Like, it makes you scared to connect with the spirit world, especially not knowing like how they're going to treat you. But from what I learned about like hoodoo and like voodoo and stuff like that, your ancestors are constantly trying to talk to you. And sometimes they just don't know how to present themselves, but they have like a certain message that's important for some reason. And like, it takes that form of intuition sometimes whenever you're not deeply connected to them and they're still trying to talk to you, because I feel like ancestors like know who we are because we look similar to different people that they know. So it's like, it makes sense to attach themselves to us. But at the same time, like, I don't know, like all these people in your life have either passed on or they have certain things that they want to tell you. And it may be just like one of those things where like it's trying to bring closure to this whole situation that you've been like dealing with for the last couple of years, just trying to know like what's going on and then like pushing it off because you're not sure how you're going to respond to it. Cause like, I'm sure you're super unsettled and that might be a reason why they're like pushing for it right now, just so that you can find some sort of peace, because it may be like something that's just like good that they're trying to tell you and they don't know how to get that across to you.
Yeah. It's like a sense of frustration and unsettlement. Like, it's just like answers, you know, questions, answers that I never could have gotten, and questions I never even thought of as a kid. You know, I never thought to talk to my grandfather about things, because I remember growing up, my grandfather, he lived on a ranch in Mexico. And so it was always a pain in the ass. I was like, okay, fine. Going to Mexico wasn't so bad because my grandmother lived in a city. So it's like, okay, fine. I'm not going to get American TV. I'm not going to get video games. I'm not going to get this, but at least I have TV. At least I have radio. At least I can go to the park. At least I can go do things. But at my grandfather's ranch, there ain't shit to do, but just fucking herd the cows and, you know, bring in the chickens at night. Like there really wasn't shit to do. Maybe ride a horse for fun. But, so anything that I associated with my grandfather is like a chore, like, oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. Do we have to go today? Or can we go later? And if we went later, that meant we'd come back. We'd spend less time there because it was about a 2-hour drive to get there. Not that it was far. It was just the road was real shitty and bumpy. So you had to go slow. And I figured, okay, if we leave after 2, then we'll be back by 7 because we'll only be there for a little while. We get there, have a meal. I got to listen to my mom, talk to him for a little while, and then we're going to leave because we got to get home before dark. You know, that was my mindset, you know, just to hurry up and get it over with. But in hindsight, like, you know, there's so much I could have learned from him. There's so much I could have talked to him about, but I was just being a kid and stubborn that I just wanted to play and have fun, you know? So.
That's how it is. Whenever my grandma passed away, like on my dad's side, I didn't really know how to react to it because every time we went there, I was like, it's just not fun over there. Like, I don't know what to do half the time. Like, I can go in the backyard and try to climb a tree, but then I'll get yelled at because I tried to climb a tree. And then, like, even outside of that, it's just like going to the park. Like, it wasn't that fun because I was like a little bit older and I was like, I don't really want to play on these things. Like, I just want to like walk around and like do whatever I want to do. And like, I legitimately got in so much trouble for like trying to climb trees. Cause that was the only thing that I felt was fun for like years. I was like, there's nothing else to do. Like, and since I'm bigger, like I can like climb higher. Like, I don't know why you're trying to stop me. And then like, it just turned into this whole thing. And I always felt like super annoyed going over there. And then whenever she passed away, it was like my whole family was really upset and grieving. And me, like, I didn't really know how to deal with it because I was like, yeah, like I loved her and she was always there. But at the same time, like, I never really got close to her because I was constantly trying to find different reasons to leave the house because I was so bored. Like, I didn't like it. And like, yeah, like that feeling so fucking relatable. And then like tying that to the whole entire idea of like trying to discover what he's trying to talk to you about. Like, it's just something that's like ingrained from like years ago. Like, you already have this emotional attachment to him. And then whenever you think of him, you feel that emotion come up again because like he died like whenever you were so young that you don't know any different. Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, maybe I can make a podcast where I'm talking to like entities. Like, okay, yeah, my next guest is my great grandfather. I don't know why he wants to talk to me, but okay, let me translate. He said, wait, what the fuck does that mean? Okay. And then just say whatever he said, you know, but it would seem gimmicky too. So I was just like, there's something out there, I think, that I could share eventually once I open up my eye or open my way to communicate. I'm not tying it to my third eye. I'm just saying that there's probably some other way to be able to open myself up, to be able to see or hear, communicate. Because it could be any number of things, I guess. But damn, I don't even know where I was going with this, but just the whole relatable thing is that, you know, we have so much in our background that we're not even aware of that we don't register, but it still affects us, you know, in our day-to-day life. We just don't realize, oh, hey, you know, I do this because, you know, I was scared of my grandfather, or because my grandmother smoked cigarettes and I love the smell, so I smoke now. But we don't associate it directly with that. We just like, oh yeah, I just smoke cigarettes because I smoke cigarettes. You don't think about what made you start or what your connection is, you know?
Yeah, like maybe you can start by just like meditating on like the feeling that you have with your grandfather and like trying to change that into something more positive so that whenever you like actually get to that point of like trying to open yourself up, you're not necessarily like thinking about it as a chore. Like maybe you'll think about it as something like, you know, an opportunity to actually learn about him. Cause like, I don't know, even my other grandma for the longest time, I was like, I loved going over there. She was so sweet. And I still like go over there cause she's still alive. But like, it's different now. Cause like now that I'm older, I like realize that there's so many different things that she went through. Like, being like in her 70s, she experienced all the different things that happened, like generationally, like that I learned about in history books and like online and stuff like that. And it's a completely different feeling, but like, it's different whenever you're growing up with that person still alive versus like having a memory of a person and trying to change that feeling that you used to have about them. And like, I don't know, maybe that might help you just like trying to open yourself up and like realize like, okay, like maybe this might be a little annoying, but at the same time, it might not be because I might just be perceiving it that way because I was always annoyed when I was around him. Or like with your mom too, like trying to like distract different guests or like doing different things so that you don't like focus on what's going on in the room because she wants you to like stay away for a certain reason. Like I would feel like a sort of disdain if like my mom was doing that with me. I'd be like, why can't I be around? Like, why can't I just be sitting next to you? Because like being so young, you like don't understand that certain thing. So maybe like just a culmination of these different emotions that are like hiding you or like keeping you away from like the sort of like, what is it called? It would be like a personal, like it sort of be like a personal revolution because you're like fighting yourself and like trying to triumph over certain emotions so that you can like get further instead of like holding yourself back due to like a set of circumstances that aren't important anymore.
Yeah. Instead of seeing memory through your own eyes, because you know your memory is kind of tainted, you know, you always take away and add things to it the more you tell the story, and eventually, you know, the only thing that's real is that, yeah, I hung out with my mom when she did this, but if I keep trying to focus and try to remember it, I might pull in a memory from something else that like, oh yeah, we did this in Mexico. I was like, no, we did it in her back, in our backyard in Houston. You know, the way you just associate things, sometimes you associate or connect the dots incorrectly. Even though it's related, it's just probably not the exact correct memory. So I'd rather reconcile it with what they're telling me. Of course, who knows if their memory's right, but you would think that as an entity, as a ghost, as a spirit, they would be kind of, in a sense, locked into what they know and what they remember, but also what they can see. Like they can see everything going forward and tell you about things that are going on. Who knows?
Yeah. Damn. I could just go into a whole philosophical conversation, but I'm not sure if everybody wants to hear it. So I guess it's a good point to stop this, but please like, let me know whenever you actually like connect with that entity and like what you learn from it, because that's crazy that it's taken this long to like feel ready to get to that point. And like, I don't know, every single person's different, but it does take like a long time to like put yourself together and like feel ready for that sort of opening. Like I still am not there, but I'm also only 24. Like I don't know that much about the spirit realm. So it's very scary. I had so much experience with it.
Oh man, you're older than my son. He's 20. He'll be 22 next, in about 2 weeks. So, but still it's just kind of like, oh man, but then again, I can't, I don't know. It feels bad and creepy, but at the same time, I do perv and check out girls that are in their 20s. Of course, I don't know they're in their 20s, but they look young. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I won't look like this forever. I smoke a lot of tobacco now, so maybe next year I'll look 10 years older.
Yay.
Yay. But yeah, there's no real true way to end this podcast other than saying goodbye, but I fucking love you. And I'm really glad that you actually shared all that with me and that we were like, I don't know. I'm really glad that we're like catching up every so often too. It's like every other week we get to talk.
Right. Yeah. And then it feels like a weird friendship, but like an old friendship too, if that makes any sense. Cause we don't keep in touch every week, but when we do, it's like, we just picked off from, you know, the yesterday or day before, you know?
You know, well, shit. I'm really glad that I was able to go on your podcast and that you were able to come on mine.
Yes.
So yeah. Just let me know, like freaking, are you planning the end of the year, like December?
Actually, I'm trying to want to do it like, here in the next month or two, you know, however long it takes to get to your friend, Chelsea, I'm gonna look into that genie thing here in town.
Yeah.
And then do more online research and do some, mushrooms, try to maybe help jumpstart it, you know? See how that goes.
Yeah, it does help. It really does. The only time I did mushrooms, though, I almost got murdered by like a dog brush. So I don't really know how I feel about mushrooms personally, but one of these days I really want to, because my dad keeps talking about wanting to do it. So I know he's like in his 50s. So like, I would have a lot of fun doing that with him, I think.
See, my fear was always having like a bad trip, because I get like a cap or some friends were like, yeah, let's do some psychedelic mushrooms or whatever. And like, okay, sure, whatever. But I would always like palm it and only eat half or a little bit, just because I didn't want to get a bad trip. Like my first one being a bad one, you know, I just always never took enough. So finally, it wasn't until like sometime last year April last year, when I finally took some mushrooms, and it was like that dosage thing. Like, okay, I know exactly what I'm getting. I know what I'm taking, and I'm going to, you know, just open up my mind and see what happens there.
The fact that you bought chocolate too. What the heck? Where was that?
It was in LA, some dispensary. And it was actually one of those underground dispensaries that they only advertise on Snapchat. So it was funny because, you know, most dispensaries, they can only sell X amount of milligrams per package. And they were selling like 1,000 milligram gummies, that each gummy was 100. And I was like, ooh, yeah, I'm gonna have some of this.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Where most gummies and whatnot are like 10 milligrams or max of 100 per package. So it was kind of crazy. Oh, I'm gonna have some of this and have some of that and some of the other. And it was super cheap too, because they're not paying the taxes on it. So I'm like, fuck yeah.
Dude, if you ever remember the actual title, you should tell me, because I'm supposed to go to LA the first week of October.
I'll text you the, what you call it, I'll Venmo you some cash to bring me some shit back, so.
Okay. Yeah, I can definitely do that.
Wait, are you driving or flying?
We're going to drive.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Because if you fly, yeah, they're like, yeah, you got to ship it. So anyways, okay, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, fucking thank you all for listening. I really appreciate you for like actually tuning in and keeping up with all these shows. I've noticed that like all of these episodes that came out during the second season, people are following it regularly. So I really appreciate whoever the fuck you are. I don't know who you are, because there's just like these weird percentage things that are on my app whenever I try to check. But thank you. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's Geenecologist, like Ed Gein. And if you want to follow Gaio, if you want to release your own Instagram handle.
It's Cochino Chingon, because it's in Spanish. So Cochinochingon.
Yeah, his page is super fun. And he always has live streams. And it's really interesting to listen in on what he has to talk about. Because most of the time, he talks to really interesting people, like hypnotists, people that have different spiritual experiences, but also like sex work, all of the different ins and outs of like having a safe sexual relationship with somebody who might be into the kink community. And it's just really nice to listen to, and it's really helpful, especially if you have that sort of relationship, which I'm pretty sure all of us have been engaged in that sort of relationship at least once or twice. So it's also really good to reflect on if you haven't been that great of a fucking partner in that regard too. But yeah, thank you all. And we'll have another episode next week with another guest, because this season is full of different people that actually want to tell their life experiences. And if you have an experience that you want to share, you can go ahead and message me on Instagram, or you can email me at NICOLEY, just Nicole883@gmail.com. But yeah, I love all you guys, and I love you, Gaio. Thank you so much.
Love you too, Nicole. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it, and look forward to the next one.
Yes. All right. Bye, guys.
Oh, yes. And if you want to check out my friend's podcast, it's called Susius, exclusively available on Anchor. So please, if you want to listen to that, download the app and give it a listen, because like we've mentioned on this same exact show, it's fucking awesome. I love you guys. Don't fucking kill yourselves. And make sure to remind yourself how fucking lucky you are to be alive every single fucking second. Deuces.